I'm Brian McCreath. I'm at Symphony Hall with Sergio Tiempo. And Sergio, it's great to have you here. It's your BSO debut. Is this your first time in Boston?
It is my first time in Boston, and I can't believe it. It's been such a long time since I've been playing in the U.S. in several places. I have to say I've been very fortunate to come across many of the wonderful orchestras that you have in this country. But this is the first time with the BSO, and I have to say, just the first rehearsal, I was blown away. Such a bunch of amazing musicians, and every one of them is an amazing soloist on top of it. So it's I'm just thrilled. I'm just having too much pleasure. This is too much pleasure. It shouldn't be allowed.
And yet, this week had a little bit of adversity because this is not the concerto you expected to play when you came to Boston. I don't know how often you play the Ginastera first piano concerto or how much you worked on it, but now you just learned that you're going to play the Ravel G major. Tell me about how that conversation went.
That's right. Well, it's very unfortunate that my dear Gustavo was forced to cancel. I feel very bad for him, and of course also sad that I can't spend some time with him. And Ginastera Concerto is a very, very difficult piece, and I had worked quite a bit on it. however, when I was presented with this situation, I thought Ravel would be a nice switch, and since I know that this repertoire is just a specialty of the house, I couldn't wait to taste it. and I have to say, I don't regret it a bit. As I said, this rehearsal was a true marvel in every way, and I was seriously having a very difficult time concentrating on my playing because I was just listening to the musicians so intently. So I have 24 hours to change that now.
But tell me when you decide, okay, yes, Ginastera is a wickedly difficult piece, but now you're going to play Ravel. How much of a recalibration is that to your playing in general? What is it that you now have to be thinking of with Ravel that you, other than the orchestra, which sounds beautiful, but instead of the Ginastera, what is it that you have to sort of re-gear in your mind to get into the G major concerto?
Well, it's a completely different language. Completely, I mean, there isn't anything in common, actually. Also, Ginastera is more of a percussive piece. On top of it, it's completely dodecaphonic, and rhythmically, it has much more to do with Argentinian folklore than Ravel, which in this particular case has much more to do with jazz, actually. And the colors of Ravel are just so much more veiled and so much more suggestive. They Ravel never actually says anything explicitly. He implies things. And I adore that about his language and about his music. And but it's a completely different approach, obviously. It's even a different approach physically. But fortunately, it's a piece that I've played all my life as well, and I feel very comfortable with Ravel. So hopefully, the audience will also feel comfortable.
I'm sure they will, no doubt. No, but yeah, you have to be comfortable to switch on a dime like that and be ready to do this concerto. Do you remember sort of the first time that you encountered this concerto, either when you were young and listening or even your first time really taking it on as a piece? What was that like?
Well, it's interesting because, this piece I had heard millions of times, particularly by Martha Argerich, because, of course, it's impossible not to have that version in mind. I had started studying with her at a certain moment. I was playing for her quite often, but I had done Liszt 1, I had done Chopin 1, I had done other pieces, and it was later that I was asked to play Ravel, so I prepared it, and I was very touched because I didn't really prepare it with her. I did it on my own, and then I played it for her, and she was very happy with it. So I was particularly proud of that because and of course she gave me some input as well, of course, and but it's obviously, I think this is her her big specialty, and I think we're all mosquitoes trying to approach what she does.
Well, and when you said that that you kind of learned it by hearing her play it, that was the recording that one of her recordings anyway. I don't know how many times she's recorded it, but I think it was the one with Berlin and Abbado that she recorded.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And that's the one I learned this piece with. And so for you to be able to then say, Martha, here I am with this piece. I'm just very curious about, she is so magnetic.
Mm.
As a teacher, you say you studied with her and you played with her. How does she even impart what she does? Because there's something so charismatic that seems ephemeral and unteachable. How do you, what does she even do for someone?
Well, that's a very good question, because actually, I mean, even saying that I studied with her is not, I don't think even she would agree, because she doesn't feel that she's a teacher, obviously. And in fact, when I would play for her, it wasn't the traditional way of, you know, playing for someone and that person telling you what you should do or shouldn't do. It was very Ravelian, actually. It was very, things were implied and things were hinted at, but never explicitly said. And in many times, a lot of the dialogue was nonverbal. It was gestures listening to recordings together remarking, oh, did you hear that? Wow. And, you know, and at some point during one evening, that, because everything happens, of course, late at night with Martha. And I remember there was this one point where she started to explain something and she couldn't finish the phrase. She was, so, no, but you see, this should be a little bit more, you know. And strangely enough, I did. Oh, I don't know why. But within that context, she didn't need to say more. And of course, for me, the biggest lessons are when she plays herself. I mean, she says it all there.
And you have done a lot of things with her and her sort of circle of friends and colleagues at Lugano. Tell me what those festivals are like. I mean, what is that atmosphere even like?
Oh, what they were like. Unfortunately, it's over now. It was so much fun. Particularly at the very beginning when this festival began, it was really a festival in all its glory, in the sense of festivity. It was just to have fun making music and sharing music and that's what she wanted, I think. She didn't want this kind of star system festival where there were only big names as well. It was just a big mixed salad with, of course, some big names, but also some unknown people, and it was all just a question of enjoying ourselves through music and with each other, and it was really in a way the kind festival that reflected upon who she is very much, because it had this kind of haphazard way of happening, you know. Even programs were discussed relatively near the dates and changed quite as many times as well, and everything was up for grabs, so to speak, you know. and of course she loves that. She loves that to create a kind of order out of chaos kind of thing. And I was lucky enough to participate with my sister Karin as well since the very beginning, the first edition until the very last.
Wow. And that kind of spontaneity, that kind of maybe contained chaos kind of prepares you well to change concertos on the day before rehearsal, yeah?
Yes, apparently. Well, I won't say that I'm you know, cool as a cucumber, but but yes, I mean, you in this world you have to be prepared for change all the time, and this is more of an extreme change in terms of that we're actually playing a completely different piece. But even when you play music, I think what makes it alive is to be open to what the piece is asking of you at the very moment. And it is always changing. It is always asking something else, something different from what you planned even, or especially something different from what you planned. And so if you are attentive to it and you're flexible enough to go with it, I think that's when it comes to life.
Certia tempo. Those are very wise words, and words very much born of this week, I suppose.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure to meet you.